T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. Of course, in the studio, as always, we got our Hot Rod Happy Couple, Smitty and Breezy.
Hey, hey, hey.
What up, y'all?
And then we've got Hot Rods and Happy Hour financial analyst slash numbers guru, the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
What's going on to all our old and new friends in Sevierville, Tennessee?
I love that town.
It's a cool place. It's a really fun time.
It's fun times. Fun times. And then, of course, we got Hot Rods and Happy Hour legal counsel slash all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
You know, I tell you, how's everybody's week been? How's everybody doing?
It's been good. Been fun.
Been real fun.
Been real fun. Been real good.
Been real
everybody,
fun.
Everybody
real
doing good. Good? Everybody
real
doing
fun,
good?
Real
nothing
good.
Exciting?
Oh, yeah.
I want to tell you. You know, I was thinking about what I want to talk about this week on the radio, and I think it hit me.
What's that?
Muscle cars.
Muscle cars.
C4 Corvettes. I'm just kidding.
Here we go.
Next week. But, and thank you, by the way, for everybody that has sent me every link known to man for sale 88 35th anniversary Corvettes. The Hot Rods and Happy Hour Facebook page has been blowing up along with my personal Instagram and Facebook. And I honestly believe of the 2,050, I've gotten 37,000 for sale ads on them. So,
there's been a couple nice ones on there.
Those things, yeah, there have been some nice ones, and they're all white. It's crazy.
They're all white.
They're all white. Haven't seen a black one yet. Anyway, so, you know, so we're looking there, and we actually found a 16,000 mile manual transmission. Our buddy Anthony in Pale City, Alabama.
My man, he's got a nose on him like a bloodhound.
I'm going to tell you, when you tell that man you're looking for something, Jimmy Hoffa, he's over here.
I know where he's at. He's behind that third pine tree.
Yeah. The one, not the one with the squirrel in it, the other one.
Exactly.
But, I mean, that's the thing. Found probably the lowest mileage manual transmission 88 35th anniversary C4 Corvette.
So when's it coming?
Next week.
For real?
No. Ah. No. But I tell you what, I actually did something kind of like that earlier. I got a text message last night from a really good friend of mine that deals in cars in Ohio. And he's always looking for random things. You know, just random stuff, you know. And he always goes for me for all the American random stuff he's looking for. He said, I'm looking for a 94 through 99 Suburban, half ton, three quarter ton, big block, small block, four-wheel drive, two-wheel drive, don't matter, but rust-free with less than 100,000 miles.
Well, you had me interested all the way until the less than 100,000 miles on it.
Exactly. So, and believe it or not, finding 20-year-old SUVs with less than 100,000 miles is kind of tricky.
I can see that. I really could.
Actually found two.
Probably the only two in existence.
In the South. I found one in Charlotte, and I found one in, but the one in Charlotte wasn't a Vortec. It was a 93.
Yeah.
And I found a 99, which was in Spartanburg, which is the next town up from us where we're at here. And it was perfect. It was a 95,000-mile 99 Suburban.
Yeah.
But they sold it last week. Mm. Didn't take the ad down. I hate when people don't take ads down.
I know.
So now I'm still on the hunt for that low mileage OBS style Suburban. So I'm still looking. It's not as plentiful as C4 Corvettes.
But they're out there though. Like people that just use it for like traveling in
suburban
the
things.
Yeah, yeah.
Soccer games.
Pulling a trailer.
You know, my suburban stuff.
Yeah, you know, suburban things.
Suburban stuff.
Costco and Sam's.
You know, where you buy things in bulk, like toilet paper, pork and beans.
Macaroni and cheese.
I don't think you can buy pork and beans in bulk. I don't think you should.
That just sounds unhealthy.
Hey, Costco, I'm sure you can buy like 5-gallon buckets of them.
Costco got a 5-gallon bucket of macaroni and cheese, and I'm kind of interested.
They've got a 5-gallon bucket of mayonnaise.
Ugh.
And I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'd be concerned there. But
do you know how long it would take to burn through a 5-gallon bucket of mayonnaise?
Well, we are in the South. It probably, I mean, that's like 8 sandwiches.
That's like 8 whole sandwiches.
You burn through a loaf of bread before you get done with that.
Goodness gracious. You'd be burning all through the Merida.
That's right. I said loaf of bread.
Loaf bread.
Loafa.
Loafa.
Nah, let's not get started on the loaf bread thing again.
Well, why not?
Back, it brings back memories for me.
Bad childhood memories.
I don't want to be loaf bread anymore.
A white meat.
Oh, Professor, don't be shy. It's okay.
It's poor Marauder.
I don't really want to talk about that thing.
No. But anyway, so we found the low mileage Corvettes. Lord knows I've got 3 days of looking through 88 35th anniversary Corvette. I think every one of the 2050 are for sale, no lie.
Really?
Because I think I got an ad for every one of them.
God.
From California to here in the Carolinas, like everywhere. Every time I check my inbox, it looks like a snowing C4 Corvettes. But so I want to talk about muscle cars this week, though.
Like,
you know, we hadn't talked about muscle cars in a while. And I mean, and then, you know, this is my thing with it, is you hear that term used so much, and especially in our Mopar family.
Yeah.
They love to beat that term to death.
Yeah.
Like, the muscle this, or it's a muscle sedan, or it's a muscle whatever, or it's...
It's overweight.
To be fair, Dodge kind of brings that up pretty frequently too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They beat it to death.
All right, I thought you just meant like owners.
No. Dodge takes the term muscle and
fastest.
Yeah, the fastest SUV, the fastest four-door sedan, the fastest interest rate hike. You know what I'm saying? But the fastest depreciation of any vehicle known to man. Which is about the truth. But, you know, but how about where did this come from? And I'll tell you another thing that's my pet peeve. Professor, almost called you by your street name.
Don't do that.
Telling you. Only your stage name here.
That's right.
So, Professor, Dodge Challenger, is it a pony car or a muscle car?
It's a pony car. It is a pony car.
Are you saying the Dodge Challenger is not a muscle car? Because the Dodge commercial says it's a muscle car.
We're getting into, like, kind of semantics. Today, I guess it's a muscle car, but today's are a lot bigger than the ones that were in an e-bike.
But what's the definition of a pony car? Short deck, long nose.
Yeah.
Which is a Dodge Challenger.
Yeah. And they were little, and they were brought out directly to compete with the Mustang, the F-body.
Exactly. So, but it's a muscle car. Just like the Camaro is a muscle car. No, it's not. It's a pony car.
Yeah, and the Corvette's a muscle car. And, everything's a muscle car. My Murata's a muscle car.
The Corvette is America's sports car. That's right, kids. Way before the Dodge Vipers and all this stuff, there was a car called the Chevrolet Corvette. You know, back before we put a man on the moon in 1953.
That was before we put a man in Korea.
That's before we put a man in a lot of places. You know what I'm saying? But that's a story for another time. But people are like, oh, it's a real muscle car. I got me a Corvette. No, you got a sports car.
Yeah, by the time the late 60s rolled around, the waters are getting a little muddied as to what a muscle car was. I mean, if it's got a straight package, it's a muscle car.
Well, that, and I mean, it's not even that. But I think people nowadays, they consider anything a muscle car. You got a V8 pickup truck. That's a muscle truck.
Anything is fast.
It's a muscle truck.
Or has dual exhaust or has the mufflers cut off.
It's a muscle. So, like, I mean, is it a Z car? Is that a muscle car?
No.
No. Well, why not? It can't be. The Challenger's a muscle car.
No, it isn't. And again, you got to think about the climate of the automotive market in the 60s and 70s versus today. It's very different. That's back when most cars were two doors, when each company had 5 different two doors that competed against each other.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something else, too, is marketing.
Oh, absolutely.
They're go words. There's a 4-letter word that Chrysler uses on the regular that has made them more money than any 4-letter word known to man. And you know what? We're going to tell you all about it right after this commercial break. That's going to make you say some 4-letter words. Guys, stay tuned. We got more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio, and of course, we got Smitty and Breezy.
Hey, hey, hey.
What up, y'all?
Look at you. Oh, I like that right there. It's like, who goes first?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, we got Hot Rods and Happy Hour, financial analyst slash numbers guru, Richard Hoskins.
Sticking with Tennessee and the Smokies this week, what is going on, Kingsport, Tennessee?
And then, of course, we got Hot Rods and Happy Hour, financial analyst slash numbers guru, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
I actually called you, you're not the numbers guru, you're all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
There you go. We stand corrected.
So can I be the cool car builder?
No. So we're talking about Chrysler's favorite four-letter word. Who wants to say it?
Go, Richard.
Who wants to say a four-letter word on the radio? The four-letter word on the radio.
Hear me.
That I mean, and you know, that used to be such a cool word.
Yeah.
And then that thing got a hemi.
Back when that was relevant.
And it's been beat to death. And during the commercial break, the professor brought up a great one. It's now like the shaker hood scoop. It said it once. Under the hood.
Under,
shaker.
You couldn't even see it.
Till you raise the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Said shaker. Not 37 times on a car.
Seat, spoiler, dash, trunk lid, sunroof.
Sun visor.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Drives me insane, and I wish they'd just start calling the V8 engine something else. Hemi doesn't mean what it used to, guys. Sorry.
It's beat to death. But and see, and that's the thing we're talking about, because they're riding on the coattails of the muscle car craze. And that's where I want to get. I mean, I don't want to make fun of both our guys the entire show. I mean, we can keep going. It's fun. But you know what I'm saying. Like, I think the thing that you that a lot of people... I love the remake cars. I mean, I think the new Challengers are pretty cars. I really do. I like the new Camaros. I like the new Mustangs. But those aren't muscle cars, though. They're just called muscle cars today. I mean, because to me, a muscle-sized car was an intermediate car with a larger engine in it. The end.
That's it. Bone.
Usually like, a bare-bones car.
Yeah, bare-bones car.
Of course, there again, by the end of the 60s, that was starting to fade away, too.
Yeah, and, well, not so much with the Mustang and Camaro, but, like, with the Challenger today, now it's a full-size car.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from the footprint that it actually takes up. I know I've had three of them. My Cadillac takes up about a third of the space in my garage that the Challengers did. Like, I can open my doors and stuff and get out.
Well, I mean, you think about it. I mean, heck, if a Challenger weighed about 10 more pounds, you need a CDL to drive that thing. But... You know, I don't know what kind of plastic they make that thing out of, but it's heavy.
It's all them emblems.
but you, and that was another thing, you know. I mean, like take my little Chevelle, a 65 Malibu SS. That car weighs 3,400 pounds, and that was considered an intermediate car. Compared to a new Challenger, I could put two Malibus there. And still have some emblems left over. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just crazy how heavy these things are versus the muscle cars of the day.
And to be fair, all cars are a lot heavier than they were now. You know, I mean, a Mustang GT now weighs 3,900 pounds, which, you know, we used to joke about them weighing, like, Fox bodies weighing 3,200, 3,300. Like, oh, the big pig.
Oh my God, the thing's so big. Let me take my spare tire out.
Spare tire.
My favorite dumb modification. Let me take the insulation out under the carpet.
Yeah.
So I can take that whole 3.5 pounds off.
And my feet will cook.
Exactly. That was the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. And your carpet fits like crap now.
Yep.
It's your carpet looks like a Shar Pei. Your feet are on fire. But ain't it cool? This thing feels faster.
You got a thousandth of a
For every 100 pounds, you pick up a tenth of a second in the quarter mile. Congratulations. You just picked up a 16th of a tenth of a second. And you have second-degree burns on your feet.
Exactly.
What always cracked me up is people taking their radios and their sound systems out. The four speaker sound system in a Fox body didn't weigh that much, but
it didn't sound that great either. In their defense,
it sounded bad enough to get took out.
I mean, you're looking at 5 pounds with the radio, the head unit, and the four speakers. Probably, I mean, not much, maybe 10, but you
yeah, I'll just hang on to my radio.
Weight reduction, yo. But I mean, but that was another thing too that, you know, people did that in reminiscence because a lot of your muscle cars were radio delete. Heat delete. Yep. I mean, you get all kinds of stuff like that. But, all right, I got one for you, Professor. We're going to jump back in time. If it was 1967, what would the professor be driving?
Well, we talked a little bit about a scenario.
Yes.
Of the Oregon Trail, which I believe you could be a banker, a farmer, or a carpenter. Well, I think it's only fitting that I should be a banker, because I am, in fact, a banker.
You're so, one of them banking types.
Thinking about, like, gentleman's hot rod type thing, and, you know, I do lean Mopar. Everybody knows that. I'd probably be driving a GTX.
You know, something's weird, though, is I know you're a Mopar guy. I think I just try to wish you other directions. I could see you in a 442.
I was going to say Oldsmobile, actually, would be the other probably.
I could see the professor in a 67 442.
Yeah, with red lines, and I'd wear the little black tie, the little straight tie.
I didn't say you need to be dressing up like Paul McCartney. Just saying.
Look like that dude that skyjacked that airplane. What's his name? D.B. Cooper?
There you go.
Be busting my D.B. Cooper.
Wow. So, Kobe, what would you be driving in 1967?
In 67, it would have to probably be a fastback, because I've had several of them.
So you want a Mustang?
Mustang fastback, because I've had several of them.
But that's not a muscle car. That's a pony car.
I don't care.
He said I'd still drive a Mustang.
I'd still drive a Mustang.
So you drive...
Now, if we said 65, it'd be a whole different story, but...
Okay, 65, what would you drive?
GTO.
Those are pretty cars. I'll give you that. 67, you want a Mustang.
Exactly.
You want a girl car. Gotcha. All right, so let me slide over here. Smitty. It's 1967. What would you be driving? Ain't no air ride in 67.
I know, but that fair
the
lane,
only air the only air in 67 is the lane, one you breathe.
That Ford Fairlane looking so sweet.
Oh, they're pretty cars. There's nothing wrong with a 67 Fairlane.
You get some air shocks for it.
The Galaxies look pretty good.
I could chop the springs and be perfectly happy.
Oh Lord. See, back then, they didn't lower them like that. They raised them up.
They really jacked them up in the back.
They got them up there to a better atmosphere.
Well, how are you going to fit side pipes to a lowered car?
Duh. My traction bars are slapping the ground. I think it would be hilarious, actually. So you feeling
the Le Mans, man. I like the Le Mans as
so
well.
So you a Pontiac guy.
Yeah, kind of.
So you a Pontiac guy. A Pontiac.
A Pontiac.
Breezy?
I would go with the Dodge Charger.
Really?
Yes, I really would.
So you go all Dukes of Hazzard style on
us. Oh, I so would. Yep, if it was 67, I would.
Hmm? What do you think? I don't know. What?
Hey, it looks pretty good to me.
Well, it looks good. I mean, what do you think?
Patrick's not really being clear.
I don't really understand your tactics there, Patrick the producer. Either he's got a new dance he just came up with, or we got a commercial break. I think it's a commercial break, guys. Stay tuned. We're talking muscle cars right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio. As always, we got Smitty and Breezy.
What's up, y'all?
What up?
Sup.
Sup.
What's happening?
Sup.
What's poppin'?
What's poppin', Pippin? And, of course, we got Hot Rods and Happy Hour financial analyst / numbers guru. Not to be confused with the cool car guy, Richard Hoskins.
What's going on, Knoxville, Tennessee?
And of course, we've got Hot Rods and Happy Hour legal counsel, because Lord knows we need it, / all around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
All right, so we're talking about muscle cars. And nobody asked me what kind of muscle. Why?
I was fixing to get to that.
Why? Nobody asked me.
Well, we ran into a commercial.
That
Rob, what would be your muscle car for 67?
67? There was only one muscle car actually made. That was kind of a trick question for you guys.
Oh, was it?
It was.
Corvette.
No, because that's not a muscle car. That's a sports car. Good one, but it's a sports car. The Chevelle SS 396.
Oh, I love a Chevelle.
Yeah, it's a good one.
See, I almost
67 Chevelle.
That's cool. I don't know that I would go with only muscle car Bill.
If you want to win, you know, I mean, that's, I'm a little weird. I know we chose 67. I prefer 66 of those two, but 67, 396, 425 horse. I ain't pouting.
Good muscle car.
Something red.
Something red.
Red lines.
Yeah.
Maybe red guts too. I don't know.
Red on red on.
I'm gonna go white with red and red lines.
That would
see, work. I would go black with red.
Well, that always works.
No, or like that crazy like gunmetal gray and red.
Yeah, in the 60s, they didn't call it gunmetal. They called it funeral home gray.
I'll go with funeral home gray. I'll drive it.
Wait, well, what color is it? Lord.
Somebody.
I'm hauling dead bodies. I don't care.
I got the
I'll get there fast.
I got the funniest story ever. My father, who keep in mind was raised in this day, in the 60s, every gray car, and I know gray has become extremely popular the last few years, somebody will come up with a brand new gray car, and they'll be so proud of it. And my dad will walk up and be like, they didn't have no other colors other than funeral home gray. Daddy, that's her new car. What? They're the one that picked out the funeral home color. They don't make these things in any other color but funeral home gray. I ain't going to tell you the color he calls brown. I don't think I can say that on the radio. I would have to whisper that one into Patrick's ear.
And he's already down.
I already got a thumbs down. And I haven't even told him yet.
I miss the old Patrick.
He gave you another finger. Did you see that?
Yeah, that one wasn't a thumb.
That wasn't. I don't think that one means go either.
It was just not his pinky either.
No. It wasn't a pinky. And it wasn't the pointer finger either. I don't even know what you call that other one, but still.
Hey.
It's not good, kids. It's not good.
I don't think we can talk about that on the radio either.
That's right. I'm getting in trouble. Really?
I got one for you guys. What was y'all's favorite, I guess, mod or accessory in the 60s on your muscle car that you all like?
See, that's the thing.
There wasn't
like a lot of cool mods back then.
What would you do? Like, if it was your car, what would you do to make it stand out to do what you wanted to do?
Cracker SS's.
That's a great one.
Chocolate Actually, springs. you could do torque thrust in 56. Mm-hmm. So torque thrust Americans.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you do, Smith?
Chocolate springs, of course.
Lay it on the ground.
You got to put a rake in it. Yeah. You got to have a rake.
Well, I mean,
so it's kind of like let me break it down for the younger people. A rake is kind of like the Carolina squat, but backwards.
Yeah,
but the right way.
Yeah, Carolina squat the right way.
It's a reverse Carolina squat. But you'd be surprised. Like, I mean, maybe it's because of how I was raised. But like, I like my cars with a little rake, and they're like, "Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
What? Nose down, butt up, bud. Just that's hot rod."
People hear that nowadays; they think you're talking about a motorcycle.
Exactly.
It's a rake.
What would you do, Breezy?
I'm gonna go with whatever y'all say on this one,
Richard.
I would say, well, probably the same thing I do to all my cars now. I don't guess window tint was a thing back then, really. But put exhaust on it, usually lower it, and probably Krager SS's.
So you'd probably put glass packs on.
Yeah.
We didn't have no Flowmasters in the 60s.
No, we didn't need Flowmasters in the 60s. We had cherry bombs.
That's right.
And I say that, I was born in 78, so.
Straight pop. Wee.
Yeah, a lot of people ran straight pipes. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Cherry
bombs.
That
was back before you had emissions.
Cherry bombs and a set of shackles.
Well done. Set of shackles. That's where you raised it up in the back.
That's how you got your rake.
Got her hitched up.
Yep. You didn't have no coil springs. You had leaf springs.
You could put some slapper bars on there, too.
Yep.
Get some good traction on your 14-inch red lines.
Yeah, your wide ovals.
It's like, is it really? I mean, you got a contact patch that's twice as wide as a 10-speed bicycle tire. Do you really need?
And it's bias ply.
Yeah, do you really think that the traction's even remotely an issue at this point, you know? I mean, why don't you just take the tire off? How about that? Just let the rim dig in.
Speaking of bias ply tires, now this just happened just the other week. Took the old Buick out for a cruise running a 61 Buick Special. It's got bias ply tires on it still, because the whole car's original. rolling like 40 mile an hour, you know, and it's kind of doing this little shaking thing like it always does, and go to hit the brakes, and there's none really there, you know, because it's old brakes. But then I got to thinking, in the 60s, these guys were hammering down, running 80, 100 mile an hour with them old bi-ply tires and all that. They didn't know no different.
That was John Wayne type guys.
Yeah.
John Wayne's dead. I'm just throwing that out there to you.
Yeah.
He died in a Buick.
Probably. But yeah, I mean, I was like,
I need to check my facts on that.
The whole time I'm like,
we'll let it slide.
The whole time I'm like, no one stop in front of me. No one stop really in front of me because I don't.
Well, it's just, my rap was just this past Sunday. I took the 56 out and decided, you know, I'm going to cruise around. You know, and I'm riding. And keep in mind, the 56 has got disc brakes on it, which is even funnier. Like 1978 disc brakes under it, though.
Yeah.
And, like, disc brakes out from under a Monte Carlo that really wasn't known for the best year of having disc brakes. But I'm riding around in this thing, you know, and I'm strolling. Next thing I look down, I'm running about 80 mile an hour down a road. I'm not going to name the name of it, but that's not the speed on this road. And I'm thinking to myself, this is dangerous.
You know, I was.
It didn't slow me down, but I thought that.
When you sent that picture to us all, I was like, I was really, really impressed with you. Could you actually put gas in the car?
I did put gas in it.
He learned his lesson.
I put $5 worth in it, needed or not. You know,
it made it back from the gas station.
Heck yeah, $5. But hey, you never fill. Must be the car dealer coming out, Emmy. You never fill the car up with gas. You may sell it tomorrow. I ain't giving you a full tank of gas. No. Just enough.
I don't know, man. Even if you sell it tomorrow, all you got to do is drive the thing around for a couple hours. You're going to get your money's worth out of your gas.
I'm going to tell them, meet me at 6 o'clock and let it idle. For like, you know, 6 hours. At half throttle.
Or you just charge them another $25.
Yeah.
I don't fill my truck up. I don't fill it up. I usually put about, most I put is like $15. If I'm staying, you know, in town or around the house, $15. Just because I don't want the ethanol sitting in there.
Well, I'm with you there, too. That stuff eats fuel lines.
Yep, it does.
And it costs money.
Yeah, exactly.
And it costs you money.
I fill the Murata up every time I drive it just because the gas gauge doesn't work very well and it gets horrible gas mileage. So just.
How can a two-barrel car get horrible gas mileage?
How can a two-barrel car not run?
It runs on unicorn farts now. I mean, what else?
How can you put a new battery in a car and the battery's dead a week later?
Hey, let's be for real. Richard's only had to fill this thing up one time.
I filled it up like 4 times, but I've only driven it 5.
Richard done maxed out his Texaco card.
That's why it's sitting right now.
I'm telling you, man. But I mean, that's the cool thing about muscle cars but this is when the aftermarket, though, it was. And see, that's another thing that's changed. There were no decal kits.
No.
You didn't have anything like that. These were like real parts. Like
there
you had like
catalogs you could buy.
You had intakes and exhausts. You had to go to your local speed shop. And that's another thing that's cool is you hear these stories about speed shops. I want to talk about this in the next segment because everybody kind of had like their shop they went to. It was like your go-to. You know, there's loyalty there, brand loyalty. That's what I really miss about the back then versus today in hot rodding. I tell you what, though, we got to wrap it up. Speaking of loyalty, I like these commercial people because they're good because they pay the bills.
Pay
so
the
we
bills.
Can keep doing this.
Yeah.
All right, guys, stay tuned. We got more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. Of course, in studio, we have our Hot Rod happy couple, Smitty and Breezy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. That freaked me out, Smitty. Your lips didn't even move. You're like a ventriloquist over there or something.
Sound like something on Cinemax.
Hello, Clary.
Toodaloo.
All right, Mrs. Doubtfire, I'm freaked out. All right. So, we have Hot Rods and Happy, our financial analyst slash numbers guru, bow tie twirling, Richard Hoskins.
What's going on to our homies up in Memphis?
Hey, M-Town, baby.
Yeah, that's a happening place.
It is. I mean, I can think of so many good rap groups that came out of Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
3-6 Mafia.
I thought they were from Florida.
No.
No, they're Memphis.
Right. I didn't know that.
8-Ball and MJG.
I think it's because my older...
It's like candy.
I think it's because my brother-in-law listened to them all the time, and he's from Florida, so I just assumed they were, too.
No. Actually, believe it or not, their music gets out of Memphis. It's crazy. I know. Even in Florida, yeah, they got it.
Florida, that would have made sense.
Yeah. No. Memphis. Good Barbecue, Elvis, 3-6 Mafia. The end.
Where's Bone from?
Ohio.
That's right.
What?
Yeah, they
Ohio.
Are.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
And then we got Hot Rods and Happy Hour Legal Counsel / all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on?
Not from Memphis.
Not from Memphis. From Florida.
You're from Florida.
From Florida.
From Florida. See?
Maybe I had 3-6 Mafia mixed up with Kobe.
It could be. It could Possibly. Be that. Trick Daddy, 305. That's Florida.
TWD.
Just saying. Thug.com. But we are so ghetto. Like, I really, like, at times it worries me. Like, I check, is it bad that sometimes I speak and I check my own wallet? Like I make myself uncomfortable sometimes.
Hey.
Like, I get really thuggish quick.
Can't help where we're from.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, just like, you can take the boy out of the west side, but you can't take the west side out of the boy, you know? But, so we're talking about muscle cars. And, you know, we're talking about, like, speed shops and things. And nowadays, you know, making your ride your own back in the day, you know, there was custom paint. I mean, they had metal flake and things like that, racing stripes and whatnot. But there wasn't a lot of, like, the stick-on stuff and decals and...
AutoZones and...
Pet Boys. Yeah, and, well, there was Pet Boys, but they sold auto parts, not...
Accessories.
Not stick-on parts.
Had the Western Alto.
Oh, Lord, son. The Western Alto. Do you remember Western Autos?
Heck yeah, man. That's where you could get, like, an inner tube for your bicycle and headers at the same place.
Exactly. You could.
And a Darrell Waltrip collectible NASCAR car.
Yep.
Think fast. Boogity boogie.
Picking up ladder bars and a seat for your kid's bike.
You know. And some flowers for your old lady when you're on the way out.
Yeah, there you go.
And a tire pressure gauge.
Yeah, to put on your keychain.
Exactly, but you know, you had speed shops.
Yeah.
You didn't have the internet. You didn't have catalogs really that much.
Not really.
So you went to your local speed shop, and here in the South we had a lot of them. And you know, me and Richard and all of us, we kind of came in on the tail end of the speed shop craze. They were dying out when we were kind of coming in. But, like, I still remember, like, you had your speed shop that you went to. That was, like, your go-to.
Yeah.
And that's where you got all your parts. Kind of like the first Fast and Furious, you know, when, what's his name, when Hector came to get his 3-spoon engines and all this stuff. But instead of being cheesy and fake, this is really what happened. You went to your local speed shop and you ordered your intake carburetor and headers and your camshaft and you know, whatever. That's where you got your hot parts at. And, you know, like, we had one that was local. It was called Poor Boy Speed Shop.
Yeah,
it was right there.
I
waited at the Boulevard in Greenville. I mean, that was so cool.
I remember that one.
Poor Boy Speed Shop.
Yeah.
And then you had Al's Speed Shop.
That's what I was about to say, man. I grew up on Cardinal Drive in Taylor, South Carolina. So Al's Speed Shop was literally at the end of my street.
Al's Speed Shop is a... I mean, that's a staple. I bought parts from Al's Speed Shop.
That place is awesome, man. He used to have, like, every couple of years, he'd have, like, a garage sale. And it just the stuff that you would see up there was unbelievable.
I mean, just leftover stock from the 70s and stuff. I mean, I remember hearing stories. He had 55-gallon buckets of, like, chrome lug nuts.
It was. There was the room where the desk was, and then there was the room where the stuff was.
Like, stuff was overtaking the building.
Yeah, that's why he would do those clear outs every couple of years, because he had to. The place wasn't that big.
Yeah, but I mean, I love that, though. I love that you go in and order the newest something, you know. Oh, hey, they're coming out with these new Mickey Thompson ladder bars. Or
that place, man, that was like a childhood gearhead's dream come true.
Like, you know, like, I remember going in there for the first time and just like, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a special moment.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your first kiss.
You're entering a different era.
Actually, I went into a speed shop before I got my first kiss.
Really?
Really? In a speed shop?
No, I didn't get a kiss in a speed shop. No, I didn't even get a kiss. But
exactly.
But no, I didn't get a kiss in a speed shop, but shortly after. But you know what I'm saying? But that was the cool thing.
That place was magical.
And that's before, I mean, like, it was self-service. Like, you know, like, they knew what you had done to your ride. It wasn't so secretive now or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
In Florida, we had RPM.
RPM. We actually had, I think we had an RPM, too,
up
here.
We did have an RPM.
In Malden. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had
an RPM. It was a few towns over from us, but it was more toward Orlando, but it was an awesome little speed shop back in the day. I mean, they had everything.
I mean, think about it. That's where you got your hot rod parts. I mean, they ordered from, you know, all the major distributors and all that stuff. I mean, that's how you got these pieces.
Well, we talked about super shops before, and
I miss super shops.
If you were in my budget, then you would go to super shops, decide the stuff that you wanted to buy, and then you would go to Western Auto and get like whatever their version of it was.
I love super shops. Like that was the coolest store ever. The store manager at the super shops here, his name was Robbie, mm-hmm. and that was like the coolest thing. He had an IROG Z.
Yeah, black, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I remember going in there like every Sunday and just checking the place out.
Yeah, that place was like that's what you
Super
like,
Shops was
for.
the chain.
Yeah.
Speed Shops.
It was like if Jegs was a store.
And you know they actually do have Jegs stores. There's two up in Ohio.
Jegs and Summit.
Yeah, Summit's got their stores
down
too.
Down in Atlanta.
Man, that's gotta be a big store.
McDonough.
It is down in Atlanta. Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah. But
I'll take you down there sometime. It's
awesome. You'd like it. Go there and look at all the Mopar stuff.
They got a little aisle about three shelves.
No, Mopar stuff?
Yeah.
And then everything else, Chevy.
Mainly t-shirts, but you know what I'm saying. It's Hemi and Shaker t-shirts, but you know what I'm saying.
Two t-shirts, a hat, and a keychain.
I think I sent a coffee cup, too. Almost positive on the coffee cups. They might have been on clearance, but they did have them.
Yeah, it's got to be a huge store. I think I knew that, though, because I think I almost went down there and picked something up one time when I was ordering it, because I like really needed it, but didn't end up doing it.
You didn't need your fuzzy dice that bad.
Somebody was telling me that Jegs is actually talking about putting a superstore down in Atlanta.
I tell you. Well, see, that's the thing, you know, and I tell you what's so funny now is, you know, Jegs and Summer, too, are your big guys.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is they're both out of Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Summit, like close to each other?
No, somewhat close. I mean,
so Bone Thugs and Harmony, Jegs, and Summit all came from Ohio.
Exactly. But this is the thing that's crazy. Like, where did Summit get its name? Because it started in Summit, Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jegs, of course, the Coughlins, Jeg Coughlin, yeah. You know, and all that. But I mean, that was the thing. I mean, like, they both started in Ohio, and Jegs kind of, yeah, they're still kind of really based in Ohio, with Summit, their headquarters in Ohio, but they have stores everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I think they have five big distribution centers in the U.S., but it's really interesting how that works, you know. But, heck, you can order something here in South Carolina and have it the next day.
Yeah.
That's like Amazon Prime for hot rodders.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. I have ordered from Summit right out of Atlanta to be there the next morning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of cool. That's handy.
It's nice.
Especially like when you need a fitting or something like that. Super handy.
Something that stops what you're doing, you know, like you can't progress until you have this part.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can't progress till we get this next part. This will be a commercial break.
Another one already?
I'm telling you, every time, guys. Stay tuned. We're talking all about muscle cars, hot rods, and speed shops right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.